Christian Center. We're so glad that you're here on Easter Sunday with us. And I want to tell you this morning that you serve a God that's very well alive. You serve a God that knows exactly what you're in need of. He knows the very healing that you need. He knows the breakthrough, the blessing, the miracle. And so I want to speak hope to you today. I want to tell you that if you came in here with a bad attitude, I'm going to tell you to shake that off of you right now. Because, see, God came here today to bless you. Now, have you come to be blessed today? Amen, amen. Will y'all stand to your feet? I like to have people on their feet because everything in life will try to knock you down. Everything in this life will try to knock you down. And I don't ever want you to forget that God says, if you'll just stand, if you'll just stand, when you've done everything that you can do, child of God, if you'll just stand there, I'll take care of the rest. I'm going to ask you to begin to raise your hands this morning. See, you either want a visitation from the Holy Spirit or you don't. But by golly, if you do, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Because let me tell you, the pandemic, what it's done is it's taken prayer plumb out of the church. It's taken speaking in tongues plumb out of the church. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. God, I ask you right now, God, if there's families in here, Lord, that need to be restored, God, I ask for a restoration right now. Lord, if there's reconciliation needing to be going on, God, I ask you for that right now. Lord, if healing needs to take place in the bodies of your children, God, I ask for you for healing in this place. I speak to addiction right now, and I tell it to be gone in Jesus' name. Father God, I ask you to go up right into Logan County Jail right now, Lord, and I ask that you'd minister peace to the inmates right now. God, you know exactly where they are. Lord, I ask that you'd fill that place with your presence. God, in Jesus' name, and Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. God, all that you're going to do, Lord, and we thank you right now, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've never heard my preaching, I want to tell you that I'm a very loud person. I also need to disclose to you that I'm very unpolitically correct. Is there anything else I need to tell them? I'm loud and I'm not politically correct. Did I cover it all, Brenda? All right. Loud and proud. Now, I don't think I'm loud enough. Larry Corley's going, you are, Pastor. Am I good? Okay. Look here. A lot of people, they say, I bet Pastor Kelly can just sing like an angel because her daddy can and her sister can. Let me just take the mystery plumb out of that. I can't. There's no singing going on because I want y'all to stay up in the church. So if I go to singing, you better run because the devil's probably after somebody. All right. But anyhow, I'm so glad to be in his house. I'm glad to be in his presence. I'm glad to be among friends and family. I want to turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to begin at verse 3. And a couple weeks ago, we took our little family to Branson. How many of y'all love Branson? I never get tired of the Branson, and I never get tired of the Dolly Stampede. You know why? Because they give you a whole chicken. Any business that's going to give you a whole chicken all to yourself is already blessed in my book. It must be good. And then they top it off with a pork chop, a big old thing of corn, a half of a potato, an apple turnover, soup. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's like a smorgasbord of all the right things. So we took them to Branson, and I said, I want you boys to see the Jesus show at the Sight and Sound Theater. Let me tell you something. I like to be in bed by about 8:30, 9 o'clock. That's just how I roll. I got to have rest, or I'm turning into a real jerk. Ask Pastor Jeremy. So we go, and it was at 7 o'clock. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And it was a two-hour and 20-minute show. That's kind of stretching it for me. And my kids go, Mama, how long is this show? And I said, the show is 2 hours and 20 minutes. And they said, well, what is the show about? I said, well, the show is about Jesus. And they go, oh. That must be why it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. But they managed to get Jesus' life into 2 hours and 20 minutes. And I was amazed they could wrap all that up, Rocky, in 2 hours and 20 minutes. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. But I'm going to hit on some of the highlights this morning of Jesus' life. And I want to tell you something. I'm Pastor Real Deal. I am not here to sugarcoat nothing to you. We're just going to tell it like it is. And what I'm going to tell you this morning is sometimes you're going to have some trouble with some folks. Now, look, just because it's Easter, I ain't going to act like people don't got enemies, because we know we do. We know we got people. When we go up into Walmart, we hope to God they ain't there. Okay? Let's keep it real. I told you, you serve a very alive God, and He's not dumb. He knows exactly how we are. And so, if Jesus Himself was betrayed by one of the people that was very closest to Him with a kiss, I want to tell you something today. If you're holding unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, I'm going to tell you very kindly, very unpolitically correct, get over it. Get over it. You know why? Because Jesus has had to get over a lot of stuff. Have you done some stuff in your life? And you say, God, I thank you, Lord, for the blood of your Son, because I can sweep all of that under there, God, and you won't bring it up anymore. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to look at verse 3. And it says, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And I want to tell you something. Not everybody's going to always be for you. Not everybody's going to always be for you. You could try to do your best, but at the end of the day, there's going to be some people that just aren't going to like you. I'm glad when people roll up in here, because I make it very simple. I tell them, you either going to love me or you're going to hate this, and you're going to know in about 30 seconds. It don't take long. Some people, it's just a little too much truth for them. So it says here that He was despised and rejected by men. And let me tell you something. There's going to be people in your life that are going to reject you. I wish I could tell you the moment that you ask Jesus into your heart that you'd never have another trouble, another stress, another worry. But what I can tell you is this right here. You have a God that He said, I will be with you when the trouble comes. I will be with you on the very top of that mountain. I will be with you on the very lowest of lows. But in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. But the Word of God says, now be of good cheer. Because all of that stuff, I've overcome every single last bit of it. If you walked in here today and you said, Daddy God, I'm struggling today, I want to tell you that He knows, number one. But number two, He's already working it out. He's already working it out. God already knew there was going to be a problem before the problem ever showed up. God knows. So many times we get in the middle of a battle and we say, God, do you know? Do you know what I'm going through? And what I want to tell you is God knows. God knows exactly what you're going through. You're not alone in that battle. He's not gotten mad at you and said, I don't want to deal with you no more. He loves you. He loves you. And so it says, like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised and we esteemed Him not. But surely, everybody say surely. Surely He took up our infirmities. Surely He took them up. You ever had somebody behind you or something and they pay the bill for you? See, we got a tab going that we could not pay. And He stepped in and He said, hold on, I'm going to pay that tab. Hold on, I'm going to pay that tab. Look here, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of who the glory of God is. A lot of times, if I'm just going to keep it real, I'll be judging somebody, and I've done the same thing they did. How many honest folks we got up in here today? Have you done that? I'll be sitting there hating on somebody, and God will go, Kelly, you're doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing they're doing. You better quit being a hypocrite. See, got to know how to ring your doorbell. He'll know how to ring your doorbell. Now, let's keep reading. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And carried our sorrows. Now, what I'm seeing here is many people. And whenever you get a bunch of people, what you get is you get people, some of them's got some sorrows. And if you've come in here today and you said, you know what, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. There's something, God, that it's bothering me. I want to tell you something. He took those up and he carried them. He carried them. You were never meant to be so weighted down by all of life's troubles. If you'll hand them over to God, God will take them up. God will take them up. And so it says here, surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. And we got right up in the middle of that show, and they brought out some very, very good points in the Jesus show. And one of the things that they really hit on was the moment that they pierced his side. The moment that they pierced his side. And they did that because they wanted to see that he was truly dead. They wanted to make sure. See, when you talk about salvation, what you have to do, number one, is take it so personal and realize that he did it for you. That he did it for you. If you would have been the only person, he would have still done it. See, you're not going to roll up in Parish Christian Center and have me beat you over the head with every rotten thing you've done, because what I can tell you is I've probably done a whole lot worse. So what we're going to try to talk you into is just knowing how loved that you are. Knowing how important that you are. Knowing how validated that you are. So many people, they're walking around in this life and they're saying, Daddy God, I'm not enough. I want to tell you this morning that you're enough. Wherever you come up short, he's got the slack. He's got it. He's got that. And it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. So we're up there with the kids, and I've got Colton. Colton's the one that sang Jesus Loves Me. His hobby is eating. I know you can't tell that. And the other kid of mine, he's the opposite. I don't know what his hobby is, but it's not eating. So I want to sit by the kid that likes to eat up at the show, okay? Because the other kid, there is no snacking going on with that one. So I'm going to sit by the kid that likes to eat. So me and Coco's over there, and we're watching the Jesus show. And he's saying, Mama, do you want some more cotton candy? And let me tell you something. You know how you can tell something is good? You're smacking. How many food smackers we got up in here? You like to smack your food? I tell you, I'm sold on the fact that it makes it taste better. Jeremy looks over and he's so annoyed at us when we're doing that. He hates it. But it makes it taste better. And we get to the part where here's Jesus and he's hanging on the cross. And they pierce his side. And blood and water began to flow out of his side. And I want to tell you something. His blood flowed for you. He broke for you. And he did it because he knew that this life would try to break you down. And everything about who he is constantly trying to mend you, trying to restore you, trying to give you hope, trying to make you not feel bad about the things that we're ashamed of. And so when Pastor gets up here and we say, he was pierced for our stuff, every last bit of it. See, today, God would like nothing more than people just go free of their stuff. To just walk away and say, you know what, God? I'm going to forget about the fact that I did that because I know that you've done put it under the blood. Lord, I'm going to stop being ashamed of everything in my past, and God, I'm just going to move forward. Lord, I'm going to let you come in and mend this part of me that's been wrong for a long time. See, we could talk about so many things, but here's the truth of the matter. I'm not sure when I'll see everybody again. Amen? So I'm going to make sure that I tell you the most important thing today is that God loves you. He's not messed up about what you think that you did that he won't forgive you about. He will. He will and he has. He loves you. And it says, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The crucifixion should have been ours, but he took it. But he took it. There were so many things that he said on the cross. He said, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. God, forgive them because they don't know. Let me tell you something. When's the last time you got on your knees and you began to pray for your enemy and you said, God, forgive them because they probably didn't know? Let me tell you something. If I'm being very honest, many times I ain't on my knees praying for the enemy because I'm telling them, God, you know that they know what they did. But look here, what's good for the pastor is good for the congregation. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you've got that unforgiveness, see, I've been on unforgiveness for weeks. Why? Because God's probably trying to let something go. He's probably wanting it out of there. I get so many people, they corner me in the back and they'll say, Pastor Kelly, I know you's doing that just because I was in church. Let me set that record straight. I did that because I was up in church. I'm not going to tell you that at times I don't have issues. What I'm going to tell you is most times I have issues. And we just got to keep that part of us real. And it says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed. By his wounds we're healed. The moment that he took them wounds, the healing was there. See, I don't know who all I've got in here this morning, but what I do know is if you're in need of a healing, that healing is right there on the table. I'm not just talking about a physical healing. Some people need a healing in the very deepest part of their soul. Some of you may need a healing in the very intricate parts of your mind. See, that healing, it's on the table. And the devil knows it's on the table, and so he's constantly telling you, you know what you did. You know what you said. You know how you acted. You know what you did 5 years ago. And God's saying, you know what? I sent my son for all that stuff. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each one of us has turned to his own way. So this morning, what I'm going to ask you, what I'm going to try to talk you into today is, you know what? I don't know which way people's turned, but I'm going to ask you right now, if you've turned, if you've been away from God, if you've not been in that place where you've worked that relationship with him, what I'm going to ask you is to turn back. Turn back. Turn back. Why are we talking about this morning? Look here, you know how many, this pandemic's been rough. I tell you, when we get up into service, I'll be at my home putting my makeup on, Brother Mark, and that phone would just be going off like it's Christmas. I love getting calls from y'all. But let me tell you something. I've heard everything under the sun. Pastor Kelly, My neighbor's dog's got a stubbed toe. I ain't coming. Look here, you bring that dog to God's house, we're going to lay hands on that dog. Quit being flaky. I told you I was going to tell you how it was. But let me tell you something. On a serious note, God wants your life. The whole thing. The whole thing. Every part of you that's hurting, every part of you where you feel like you could never use that, God, because I messed it up, He wants it. He wants it. He can make something out of it. And so it says, we all like sheep have gone astray, and each one of us has turned to his own way. See, how many of you got your ways of doing some stuff? I got my own ways. Sometimes I'm telling God, if you don't make a way, God, I'm going to make that way. It's always wrong. I get myself in so much stuff by just doing things my way. But see, the Word of God says we each have our own way that we try to go to. See, your main go-to should not be your way. When something comes up in life that we didn't expect, we should say, God, what do you want to do with this? God, what do you want to do with it? Let's go to John chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 28. And I'm so happy to be right where I am today. Because last year at this time, that was not the case. All the leadership huddled up under that tiny awning, did praise and worship, preached. Everybody had like a little crack in their window so they could hear. How many of you was in Easter Sunday last year? You know what I'm talking about. Pouring down rain. Tommy, photographers, all this stuff. See, I told God, God, I'll never preach outside. I'm not that type of girl. He said, Kelly, you're going to do whatever I tell you you're going to do. There's been times where I've said, God, I'm not going to forgive that person. You don't know how deeply that they hurt me. God said, Kelly, you're going to forgive them. You're going to forgive them. There's been times where I said, God, I'm done. He said, Kelly, pick it up again. You're not done. Amen. See, I know that life gets very difficult. It gets difficult, it gets real, and it gets raw. And it hurts. It hurts. What I can tell you with absolute confidence is that you serve a God that's so alive. He's working on it to make it better. He's working on it to make it better. John chapter 18, verse 28. It says, and then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. And by now it was early morning. And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, what charges are you bringing against this man? And they said, if he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. See, they really didn't even know why they hated him. They just hated him. They just hated him. So they bring him up, and they said, well, what's he in trouble for? They said, well, if he wasn't in trouble, we wouldn't have brought him to you. They kind of just moved around that point. And so Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" And they said, "If he were not a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over." And Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone." The Jews objected, and this happened so that the words of Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, and he summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate said. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." See, if his kingdom was of this world, it would be passing. If his kingdom was here, we wouldn't have any hope. But his kingdom isn't here. It's in heaven. So he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And he says, "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world." The very reason that he came and dwelt among us was to take every single thing that we would ever face and make a way for us. And make a way for us. How many of you had heartache since this pandemic? How many of you stopped and you said, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do"? Amen. I've had many of those moments. Shelly, my water's right over there by my kid. Well, maybe it's over here. Got it. Brother Charlie, you need some water? All right. I'm not too fancy to share with you. I've known Brother Charlie for like 35 years. He was responsible for one of the worst whippings I ever got. Right back there in that back office. He never snitched on me again because he felt so bad. And I never told him to shut up again because I felt so bad. You can't be a preacher's kid and tell the deacons to shut up. It just won't go good. I learned that one the hard way. See, there was a lot of things. There's been so much stuff go on. I've had my moments since 2019 where I was so mad at God because what I thought that he allowed me to go through and that he put me through. But look here. See, you got to turn that being mad at God into some constructive thinking and think, you know what, God? Thank you for allowing me to go through that battle. God, thank you for never letting me fall down flat on my face like I would have if you wouldn't have been with me. See, there's times when you go through things, you're going to have to just say, look here, if Jesus went through some stuff, I'm going to go through some stuff. If somebody betrayed him with a kiss, look here, people will let you down. Stop putting them in God's place. Look here, because everybody messes up. Everybody messes up. Why? Because we all sin. We all fall short. We don't want to, but we do. I told God, I said, God, I'm not preaching outside for Easter Sunday. I even contemplated even having Easter. That's how down in the dumps I was. I was thinking, man, I don't even know what shoes I'm going to wear for this weather. The bunny is going to be wet. The Easter eggs are going to be nasty. But it won't keep the dogs out of the parking lot from fighting. And it probably won't keep that old man from driving up in his motorized scooter. I'm going to catch you up, Miss Donna, in one of my services outside. I'm a loud person. And this little man, he was driving down the street, and he pulls right up in the parking lot, and he gets right up there, right on TV with me. He goes, "What is she mad about?" Look here, I was mad at everybody, everything. God will let you go through some stuff. All sorts of issues, see. God is not intimidated by the battle that you face. He's not intimidated by the bad news that you got. He's not up there wondering how he's going to help you. He already has it figured out. He's already began. He's not up there thinking, how am I going to make a way for this person? The way has done been made. And it's not dependent on whether you did a number 9 or a number 2. See, the goodness of God is out there for every person. So many times Monday afternoon I'll go into the jail and I'll minister to people. And the first time I did that, I was so anxious because I thought, I won't have anything in common with them. And I sat down, I put my elbows up, and I looked at them, and they just began to weep. Guess what I did? Weep with them. I said, girls, we're going to get along great. Look here. We've all done some stuff. We've all had our moments. You ever take a vacation from God? I've done it. Look here. The most important thing in that storyline is the moment that you come back. God's not messed up about all the stuff. He just wants his kids back. So here's Jesus, and here's Pilate. And they're having this talk because, see, Pilate really didn't want to judge him. He really didn't want to see him be crucified. But Jesus had some haters. Guess what? He still does. From beginning of time to the end of time, there'll always be people that say, God's not real. God's not this. God let this happen. I'm mad at God. Look here. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. Why is it few that find it? Because very few are looking. But what I can tell you with absolute confidence is the day will be here where every single knee is going to bow down. It doesn't matter if they believed. Doesn't matter if they did not believe. Every tongue, Van, is going to say, he's Lord. Every tongue that ever said, no, he's not real. See, even that tongue will speak out and say, he was real. Everyone. And so Pilate said, here's Jesus, and he goes, you are right in saying that I'm a king, but in fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. My question today is, which side of truth are you on? What side are you on? What side are you on? Because, see, we just read in God's Word where Jesus says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What does that mean for us? My sheep hear my voice, and they don't follow strangers. The best illustration for this is, how many of you know little Evan? He's not little, first of all. He was. That didn't last long either. For those of you who are going, who's Evan? That's my nephew. And when I was young and I still lived in the house, Evan was just like my little brother. We just would take him everywhere, dress him up, always made sure he looked cute. He's my little nephew. I was 18, and I did everything with him. But what I did not do with Evan is let him sleep in Aunt Kelly's bed. Because, see, I don't like that kind of thing. I don't let my kids sleep in my bed. I'm not letting nobody else. No. I'm going to let Jeremy in there when he's acting right. So he slept with Nana and Papa. And they were trying to break him of that because, you know, when you get a little older, you need to sleep in your own bed. Because what happens if you don't break that off at some point, you're going to have a 16-year-old up in there with you. And if they got hobbies like my Coco does, that's going to be weird. So we got to that point where we was trying to break him of sleeping with folks. So we put him, they put him on the other side of the house with me. And I'm very unsympathetic when I'm trying to sleep. I don't care. You best be dying because I ain't getting up for you. It's not going to happen. Something better be really going wrong. And then at that point, I'm going to decide whether if it's really important to me. So we get Evan. And in about 2 o'clock in the morning, I can hear this baby. He's probably about 3 or 4, but he was huge. He's big. And he is screaming bloody murder. Banging into stuff. And I'm going, I love that kid, but no. Not getting up. Not going to happen. And here's this baby. And how many of you know that he'll be 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he's going to always be the baby? That's just how kids are. They in your family, you're going to always look at them like they're a baby. And I thought, I ain't messing with this kid. So he just proceeded to knock everything down. Stumble, and he was crying the whole time because he was in the dark. And from the other side of the house, I hear Dad begin to call his name. And all of a sudden, I begin to hear less things falling over, less things being bumped up into. See, there's times where our decisions and our actions, they've isolated us on the wrong side. And we in the dark, and we're stumbling around, and we're hurting ourselves. And we're trying to find the right way, but we can't. And the more he began to call his name, I could tell the moment that he made it to him. Dad kept saying, come here, baby. Come here, baby. It's like he was calling hound dogs. Come here, Evan. Come here. Why are we talking about that this morning? Because you know what? There's no way in the world I'm going to get people here on Easter Sunday and make you feel bad about your life. What I want you to feel about your life is that God loves you so much. If you're walking around and things ain't going right, and you up in the dark and you're tripping on stuff, what I want you to do is quiet yourself and begin to hear God call your name. Amen. Because the Word of God says, I call each one of them by name. I know each one of them. The devil will make you feel so lost up in the shuffle like you don't matter. You matter. Like you're not important. You're important. Like you don't have a calling no more because you messed up with some stuff. Look here, the calling is still there. God gave it to you and he's not sorry about it. And so Jesus said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Look here, there's a lot of things talking to you throughout your day. But what I'm going to ask you is, who are you listening to? Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Who are you listening to? You listening to your friend giving you the wrong advice? You're listening to the wrong people. You're going to the wrong places. Everyone on the side of truth listens to him. Everyone, what does it say? Everyone on the side of truth listens to him. And Pilate asked something that I've asked myself so many times. What is truth? What is truth? What is truth? You ever get so much in the mix of stuff and you're going, I don't even know what's heads or tails anymore. You ever get in a good argument with your spouse and you get there and you're fighting and you get a couple hours under that argument and you're going, time out. What are we arguing about? I forgot. We need an intermission and a food break because I done forgot what we even argued about. But look here. What is truth? Truth is that you have a very loving, merciful God that loves you, that accepts you right in that place. Right in that place. Right in that place. What is truth? Truth is that God ain't leaving you. Truth is that God will be with you in the worst of worst. Ain't that true? Truth is that when the worst stuff doesn't happen, he's right there. See, the devil would love to cloud up and muddy up your waters to where we don't even know what truth is anymore. But look here. He's truth. What does he say? I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. He is the way. When you don't know which way to go, go back to that place where you felt his presence. He's right there. When you're up in that dark part of your life and you're crying because you don't know, begin to call out his name. God, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Guess what he's going to do? Come here, baby. Come on. He'll call you by your name. If you came up in here today and you're weary, I want to tell you that it's getting better. It's getting better. If you came in here hurting, I want to tell you that we have the best comforter that ever was. It's Jesus. If you came in here today and you needed a healing, I want to tell you that the healing is there. The healing is there. If you came up in here today and you said, my marriage is in trouble. Look here. Nobody help a marriage like God. Nobody will help a marriage like God. You came up in here and you say, you know what, my kids, they're all acting up. Look here. Nobody get the prodigals back better than Jesus. Nobody draw your family back better than God. What I try to do, I know I come off a little strange at times, and it's because I am strange. That's why I come off strange. Rocky's going, we know. I've been in the ministry my whole life, and here's what I know. You play just the right song on just the right day, you get everybody saved all over again. I'm not into politics. I'm not into numbers about, oh, I had 37 people saved today. I saved them all last year, too. Look here, I'm not into that stuff. Not into it. It's not my thing. So I want you to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want you to begin to pray. If you've had those times right now and you're saying, God, I don't know what to do, I'm just going to ask you to begin to call on his name. If you've had your moments where you say, God, I haven't been with you like I should be, and God, I want to come back to you, I'm going to ask you to begin to pour your heart out to him. If you're in here right now and you don't know Jesus, begin to tell him, Jesus, I don't know you, but God, I want to know you. Lord, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. God, I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I ask you to come in and right every wrong in this heart. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, you know every heart in here. Lord, I ask you to walk down every aisle right now, God. Search every heart. Lord, for the healings and the emotions, God, that need to take place. Lord, I thank you right now. Those are being mended right now. They're being healed. God, for every mind here that needs to be sound, I speak sound minds in Jesus' name. Lord, for every person right now, and they're going through a battle, and they're saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. God, I ask that you'd give them peace right now. Lord, for every person, God, and they're weary and they're hurting, Lord, I thank you right now. You're calming every fear, every last bit of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all of the crazy things that I've had to do in the last 2 years, one of my favorite things is babies.